Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 327. I'm not nearly as tired as I was last week because Tim's back. Thanks, Tim. He came back from the beach.
Beach buddy, Tim.
Yes. So, we are back. Adam has bailed on us again. He's very important. He says he's in training for the Space Force. So, I think he's going to be a fine member of the United States Space Force.
He's going to be Gunner's Mate, second class, Adam Asshole.
I thought he was training his trees.
Training his trees for the Space Force? That's interesting.
I know he's working on some trees right now.
He is. He took some seeds from out back. Yep, from out back. He took those and he's growing his trees. He's going to become an arborist. Yeah. I believe that is his career goal.
That's a noble career path.
Tis.
You can see Adam as an arborist.
Joining Appleseed.
Don't know exactly what an arborist does, but it might be a career goal.
Trees, yeah.
Well, I get that, but, how does it pay? You know, that's more where I was going at.
Rich people pay you, how you think?
Okay.
Come take care of the tree, then they pay you.
Probably some apprenticing or something involved.
Adam will go there and make sure all their wood's in check. No knots. Good foliage coverage. No premature sap leakage.
You've thought about this a lot, haven't you, Josh? Are you thinking about a career change?
Yeah.
The way things are going?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
That's podcast.
Wow, you really want to get out of here. So I don't remember when all this happened last week. Did we talk about the Geoff Johns stuff? Or was that after?
I thought we did.
Yeah, I think a little bit. Okay, where Diane Nelson's out, Geoff Johns now is out.
Yeah, because you were hating on...
Julie. Okay, not hating, but... I think he can do better. As far as don't commit to creative stuff if you don't have time to do it. That's all. Fair enough.
I feel like there was some other news this week, but I can't think of what it was.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't remember.
DC had their writer's summit.
Right.
But nothing really solid came out of
that. No, it never does.
There's all those rumors still flying around.
Yeah.
About creative teams.
Especially a lot of the one big thing that did happen was that, who bought Time Warner?
Oh, AT&T.
Yeah. So there's some wondering, and in general, the publishing is profitable. Leave it alone. So hopefully nothing really happens there. I don't care what they do with the movies.
I don't see AT&T getting too in the weeds on the comic.
No, neither do I.
Side of things.
Neither do I. So, that doesn't concern me. I saw something.
Closer and closer to these giant conglomerates.
Yeah. It's funny, I guess Diamond announced something yesterday, and it's like, dear Diamond, don't announce anything on Tuesday or Wednesday. Nobody is looking at your site. We're all quite busy. But they did a thing where they're offering, if you order a spinner rack and have a signed contract with another store where you were going to place that spinner rack in their store and stock it, that you'll get some, like, Marvel's throwing out a variant and different things like that.
I did see that.
And I just can't think of a worst possible thing ever to even attempt to try. I don't understand it in any way, shape, or form. I cannot wrap my head around it whatsoever. Whoa!
Tim, stop sending dick pics during the podcast.
Or at least share them with everybody.
Yeah, at least use the group text.
We had a really, really good day. And at 6 o'clock, we were an okay day. So, I don't know. Last 2 hours, something happened.
Yeah, Josh came in.
You've been having a
I have.
Good
we've
days.
Had. We've had. Been having outstanding days.
Things turned around. You got the wall built.
But that's a really, really... Cool. Yeah, that's a really, really good day. So... the wall.
Are your transaction numbers up?
No, way down. No, we did 78 transactions and my goal was 100. So Yeah, but that...
I knew your goal was 100, but I wasn't sure if you were starting a trend.
No, last week we were... Well, our numbers have been a little skewed, only because to activate points... Like, I put everybody's points in the system, but to actually get a credit thing, we had to run a transaction, so I was doing a lot of penny transactions, like a penny back issue, just to trigger your points. So there was... For a while there, it was like, you know... 10 to 15 a day of just false transactions.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good bit lower. Oh, we did have, yeah, okay. The guy bought Godzilla. And that was nice.
Has it been here for a while?
It's been here, it's been here a long time. But I think it was $160, so that's going to skew the numbers a bit too. Yeah. I'll take it. I need that when I just had to pay $2,500 in sales tax, so. Well, it's the state's money. I just collect it. But when you look at the bank account, you don't put, you know, oh, $2,500, that's not mine. Mm-hmm. You're just looking at the number.
So construction's going well.
Construction's done. The wall is mostly done on the inside. He just has to put the baseboard on. That's the only thing keeping me from moving stuff. And then on the outside, they're literally like 3 feet away from finishing the brick. So they're definitely going to finish that tomorrow. Also because they said they weren't coming Friday. They are motivated to get it done tomorrow. And then,
so they're planning on being done tomorrow?
Well, they're going to be done with the wall, and then I'm sure it has to wait to paint because the mortar.
Okay.
And they got to do the soffit, but they got to get the
post. Right, they're waiting for the post is so delayed.
Still a bunch of punch list.
Yeah, he ordered the post, but that is delayed, and then he can't do the soffit until that. But... That's okay. And then hopefully next weekend, Tony's going to mount the poster frames out there. This weekend.
Have you picked the perfect posters for them, for your inaugural?
I have not, but I'll see what I have. Because I didn't even check to see if we're getting any promo posters next week. Let's see. Just for fun, sorry.
You guys could do a big, like, staff photo.
No. So, like, here, next week we're getting a Cosmic Ghost Rider poster. I think that would be a good one to put out there, because people seem to apparently love Cosmic Ghost Rider. Ooh, that won't work. The Fantastic Four poster, but sadly it's horizontal, so that won't work.
You can put one up horizontally.
It'll look weird.
It'll look weird.
Just saying.
Horizontally in a vertical frame. That's what I mean.
He knows what you mean.
Not one.
No, because the horizontal posters are very few and far between. Okay. Because most of them are just the covers of the books. Now, that's the only poster we're getting next week. But, like, I'm sure we have a Thor poster I didn't put up, and an Iron Man poster, and new Spider-Man number one. You know, all those are coming. We normally get a few every week, and that was kind of the whole idea. It's just four posters, so... Even if we just
such
get
a Marvel
one
shop, all these Marvel posters.
I will, because DC's not sending me posters.
No, instead they're sending you books that can sell.
Well,
you see those numbers for May? Marvel's dollar share.
Well, that's because the $10 Amazing Spider-Man that sold 400,000 copies.
They're up on unit share too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the DC.
Unishare was close.
Well, the other thing is, did Spider-Man sell 400,000 copies? Probably not. A couple stores going for that 1 in 1,000 variant. Skewed things. But, yeah, I'm sure DC is just going, what do we need to do? Because they had Justice League number 1 and Man of Steel. And those
Action Comics 1000 was at number 26 on the list.
But that's the second month. That's reorders.
Oh, but May.
And it came out in April.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
Yeah. No, that came out in April. That was before Free Comic Day, because I ordered a bunch to have.
That's right.
For Free Comic Day. So that's that for being that high on the list for reorders. So that's pretty impressive. But yeah.
You're correct.
Thank you.
But yeah, I agree. They have to be wondering, like, what they need to do.
I get it. Well, and I think that's the funny thing, where they did play the little bit of the game of the meet and exceed with Justice League, and I think they got a lot of pushback on it, but Marvel clearly is having a lot of success with it.
DC is starting to do some things that is souring me, personally. Like, the whole, we're going to continue doing some twice-monthly books, but now we're raising the price to $4. Like, at that point, I don't need to read some of these books twice a month.
Right.
I don't need to spend $8 a month on Nightwing or on Titans or...
Well, I hear you.
So if they keep up with that, are you just going to strictly just go, like create your own base thing? Because, like...
I would do some DC.
You're basically off Marvel.
I would do some DC, but I would probably...
It would have to be a book you really enjoy.
Like, I would probably stick with... Justice League, because I like that, and that would give me a taste of all these characters. Batman, like I said, if David Walker's on Flash, I might drop Flash. Kelly Sue DeConnick on Aquaman. It depends. I like some of her stuff. I hate some of her stuff, so we'll see. But then, like, some of the Fringe books, like, we'll talk about it tonight, but I really liked Hawkman, number one. It was a really just... unique book. It felt like an Indiana Jones story almost. So I mean, books like that I would be on. I don't see myself saying across the board I'm done with it. Marvel, I just got tired of all of the bigger books getting wrapped up into whatever shenanigans were going on at any given time. So
Josh is not big
like Warp. Have you seen any of these Warp things that they've been floating out there? Yes, at the end of Infinity War.
First, I was like, that got me
excited. No, at the end, they're warping, so you have, like, it's characters getting warped, so it's Captain America and Doctor Strange, and he's Soldier Supreme.
So they're just doing, like, an amalgam.
Iron Man and Thor, what, Tim?
Ghost Panther.
And these things, and I'm like, so they're, like, doing their own version of the amalgam universe? Sorry. Right when I started, a guy came in and asked me if I had any amalgam books. And I just looked at him like, what are you... I don't know what you're saying. And it turns out I was talking about the amalgam books.
Amalgam.
So, but it made me laugh only because there's a store in Philly that opened. The African-American lady who opened its coffee shop and... I think. Yeah. And it's she named it Amalgam Comics. And I'm just dying just because...
Amalgam?
I'm sure she's getting... Is this Amalgam Comics? I'm sure she's getting it all the time just for naming it that. I had somebody just literally last week asking if I had any Amalgam books. And he bought some because I had, like, three of the ones he needed. But it just... Yeah, Amalgam. But it looks like Marvel is now doing an Amalgam of their own universe. Because it was funny, I was mowing the lawn for 3 hours.
That's not funny, that's just sad.
Well, because it was 94 degrees, that wasn't fun. But the other thing was, I got to share, is I am not a handy person. Like, I can operate a drill, but I do not allow myself power tools because I know my limitations.
That's why you have a Tony the Pet.
Exactly. But, so, all of a sudden, the mower stops, and it won't start again. And it's dry, and it starts, but it won't keep going. No, it starts and then dies. So I'm like, so something's wrong because it's starting, so it's working. And I checked, you know, the air filter wasn't clogged. You know, there was nothing. It had gas. Thank you, Pat.
First thing to check.
So I YouTube it, and it says the carburetor's plugged and the gas isn't flowing. And it shows you how all you have to do is take it out, squirt some stuff in this little screw where there's a little hole, and you're good to go. I'm like, crap, I can do that. But I didn't have the socket wrench, so I ran to Lowe's. Luckily, it was still Father's Day sale was still going on. Got a socket set, so now I have those, so now I'm a real...
You had 50 years without a socket wrench?
I didn't have a socket wrench, no. Nope. So I got that.
You've obviously never put together IKEA.
I just use the tools they come with. Well, those are just a screwdriver. You don't need a... Yeah. But, so I got that, and I got some carburetor cleaner. Got back, opened it up, did everything they said, pulled it, it fired right up. I was the happiest. I was very, very happy. I did not mind cutting the grass after that. I was a very, very happy place. And I had another mower that hasn't worked for, like, 5 years, and I'm like, oh. So I finished, and I went and did the same thing. That still didn't work, but...
Well,
Something else is wrong on that one.
I didn't leave the house on a 95-degree day.
Yeah.
I would say that the gas is probably no good at this point.
No, that gas, I know. I put fresh gas into it, and it didn't.
Did you purge the system?
Purge it? No.
Well, it still had old gas in there.
Okay. How do I purge the system? We'll talk later.
Suck.
Oh, thank you.
No, not... Like, put the hose in there, and then drain
it. I figured if I put new gas in, it might be enough.
But the old gas has to get out.
Okay. I think it might need to change the spark plug, too.
That could be, too.
Yeah. So that was my next step, changing the spark plug. Is there a special socket I need for that? There is, yes! I get to buy tools. This is fun. Sorry. I told Sandy, I said, I'm going to Lowe's to buy tools. And she's like, oh, snap. Nothing good can come from that. But luckily, hand tools.
Did you know where Lowe's was?
Yes. I had just been there earlier getting some sand.
I've met him at Lowe's before.
Yes, I know where it is. But that was just my little moment of joy. Success, you know, accomplishment.
Good for you.
So, no, only because it was 2 weeks worth of grass, because it's rained every day, I can do it, because I can't do it every day. There's only a few days in the week I can actually cut the grass. So.
I cut ours last night. It was like...
Right, but I was here at 8:30 last night.
It was
20
after 8, and Adele and I finished dinner, and we're sitting in the living room. I looked at her, I was like, I should go cut the grass. Or no, I said, I really don't want to cut the grass. And she's like, yeah, you don't want to. But you really should. And I was like, well, if the 8-year-old's telling me I have to cut the grass, then I'm going to cut the grass.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just one of those, it's Monday, it's my day off. It was hot, but it wasn't wet. So it was like, let's get it done. I only got the front done because of my little sojourn out to Lowe's and back. But so, did we have anything else? Any other news?
You had some questions.
Yeah, questions.
We did. We did.
Very good questions.
You know, and I did ask for more, but I got nothing today. I did.
Fine.
At 5 o'clock, I did send the, I sent the all call.
I don't have an answer for that one question, but I am very curious as to what the eventual answer is.
Let me see.
Yeah, I don't think that the answer today will be the answer long term.
Where is that?
Did you text it to us or email it to us?
He emailed it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Bye, see you, Tim.
You guys sent me those Pix emails yesterday. I didn't see them until...
No, it's okay.
Like later on today.
That's all
right. I don't have it in my phone, so...
Hold on.
Yeah, if you guys, one of you guys could do it, that'd be great. Actually, I did that from the computer, yeah, because I was doing pics.
It still all syncs up. It's the same server.
Not my sent.
Yeah, it does. There's a folder on there.
It wasn't shown in my sent on my phone. Okay, so from Clay asks, not to get political, but goods printed in Canada for U.S. distribution on uncoated newsprint or pipe pulp-style papers such as newsprint collections are set to suffer a new tariff. Is there any news from publishers about delays or increases in costs of periodicals and trades graphic novels? Nothing yet, but it's also really, really early in the process, so I don't know if we'll get anything of that.
You probably will. I buy things for a living, and I buy, like, drill bits and chain and things like that, a lot of steel products. Okay. And the tariff was announced, and within 2 weeks, pretty much every one of my vendors said, hey, this will impact the price. Okay. It's not going to impact it 25%, but it's definitely going to have an impact, probably around 6, 7%.
Okay. So, yeah, we haven't heard anything. So, and then, secondly, we all know the proper order to introduce the child to Star Wars movie franchise is the chronological date of release.
Disagree.
I was wondering what the group's opinion on introducing a 13-year-old to the Marvel movie universe. Do you skip a Spider-Man? Do you start with the original 80s Captain America? X-Men First Class? Or the early 2000s version? I think some panelists would decree certain movies not worth watching.
Yeah, that 1980s, or actually,
yeah, I'd,
it was 1990,
skip that.
Captain
yeah.
America, you definitely want to skip.
Yeah.
The Punisher from the Dolph Lundgren one, which is a fine movie, but it's not The Punisher. Skip that one.
The only movies I would hit that aren't in the current MCU would be the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
That's it?
Well, I guess for the X-Men, the first couple? The first couple X-Men?
Let's be honest, the first X-Men movie is not a fantastic movie.
No, but the second one was good.
The first one's not fantastic. The third one's not fantastic.
No, the second one is.
First one's not bad. It's just kind of like, it's a little cheesy, a little boring in parts.
Was that one before Spider-Man or after Spider-Man? The first X-Men was before the first Spider-Man? I think it was 2000.
Yeah, the second Spider-Man or the first Spider-Man came out in 2003, and that's when X2 came out.
Hmm. I also think you could skip the first Hulk movie.
The Eric Bana one?
Yeah, I didn't like that one. The second one I thought was okay.
The second one's a good movie. It's a good movie. Let's be honest.
But the first one I did not think was a good movie.
No.
As far as an order, I don't know.
I don't think there is an order.
Because, no. I don't know if you'd need to see the X-Men movies in their chronological order. I don't think it really matters.
No, I think if you do X2, I'd do First Class, Days of Future Past.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I would just start with Avengers, and whatever characters the kid, liked, then say, all right, then there's these movies that...
Yeah. I don't think you lose anything.
Well, I mean, some of with the tie-ins or the little just nods to things with the stones and in the first Iron Man you get what looks like the Cap shield and just things like that. But I guess if he's not that into that stuff already, it might not matter to him.
But that stuff is there for comic book fans to go, I know what that is. It doesn't, when I took my wife to see it, she didn't know what the hell it was, and she didn't care. I was like, no, that's Cap Shield.
Yeah.
He's 13. Otherwise, I'd say the Blade movies. I liked all three Blade movies.
Yeah, too young.
Yeah. It's just saying, Logan, I thought was an excellent movie, but I don't know about a 13-year-old watching that.
Mm.
Oh, I liked The Wolverine, too. And that was one of PG-13. The second one.
Yeah. That one was really good up until, the end. The Silver Samurai stuff.
Yeah.
It was a little cheesy, but...
Wait, which movie?
The Wolverine.
Oh. But yeah, I didn't love that part of it, but everything else in that movie was fine.
Yeah.
I skipped Spider-Man 3.
Not a fan.
I'd skip the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies.
I don't mind that first
one. I like the first one, but, I'd skip that one and maybe just go straight to Tom Holland's. Because the problem with the Andrew Garfield ones, he wasn't a good Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this. I wouldn't approach these movies as if you need to have some sort of chronological order or flow to it.
Yeah.
I would approach it in terms of what characters do you think would hook their interest enough to make them want to start to explore the rest of the web of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pick something fun. Maybe if you don't want to go with Avengers, Homecoming might not be a bad one to start off with.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what the kid's interest is.
Yeah.
Ant-Man, you don't have to watch Ant-Man. It really doesn't add anything, but it was a good movie. Yeah. It was a fun movie.
I wouldn't start, as much as, even though I love the movie, I wouldn't start with the first Avenger, Captain America First Avenger. I don't think a 13-year-old would be as hooked by that as the first movie into this universe. Same thing with the first Thor movie. I wouldn't make that the initial movie. The first Iron Man movie is fun, and it serves as a good setup, I guess.
Yeah.
But
Like the first Thor movie, if you don't care about the character, you can skip it. I mean, it doesn't really add a whole lot. I think Cat does add a lot, though. To kind of understand why he's out of time and why he's so different than the rest of the Avengers.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you probably don't have to watch it. But definitely skip the Mark Singer one from the 1990s, because that sucked. The Daredevil movie. The director's cut was good, but that's R-rated, so you may not want to.
I still haven't seen that. The director's cut.
Neither one.
Elektra was horrible. I don't think anything can fix that.
No.
Ghost Rider.
I like Ghost Rider.
I did enjoy Ghost Rider.
That's
Nick Cage. I thought it was going to be awful, but it was. I did not think it was awful.
The second one was. Okay, the first one was fun.
I like the second one better than the first one.
I didn't see the second one. Is Nick Cage still in the second one?
Yeah.
He is, but it's... He's still Ghost Rider, but it has nothing to do with the first one. It's as if it was a reboot, just using the same actor.
First one, Nick Cage was perfect Nick Cage in that.
Mm-hmm.
You had
Donald Logue's Sam Elliott. In that. Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Donald Logue's in it.
Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes.
A little wistful there, Josh.
Desperado was on Sunday.
Oh, that's a good movie.
And, you know, Selma Hayek.
Yeah. Like prime Selma Hayek.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really think there is an order to follow with those. I just think it's whatever you think the kids' interests are, whatever characters you think would mesh the best, is the way to go.
I think good ones to start off with are Spider-Man 2. Yeah.
And that's it. Like, for us...
And X-Men 2 to really... You know, they're good movies, and they really give you a flavor for the characters in the Marvel Universe.
Like, for us, Adele liked Justice League a lot, and that got her interested in other characters. But then, for some reason, whenever Spider-Man Homecoming was in the theater, she had zero interest in going to see it. Mm-hmm. Not that that's one that she would have liked. Yeah. But as for the Star Wars movies, going in the chronological order of release, I think is not the right way to do it, personally. I think you watch New Hope, Empire, then all three of the prequels, and then Jedi.
That's what he's suggesting.
No, he said in chronological in order of release.
Right, so the first one would be A New Hope.
In order of release would be New Hope, Empire, Jedi, then the prequels.
Yes.
That's not what I just said, Pat. I said New Hope, Empire, then the prequels, then Jedi at the very end.
Oh. That's an odd order.
Because you watch Empire and you watch New Hope and Empire. You get to the point where they find out that Vader is the father. Once they find out Vader is the father, then they're more invested in the backstory to Vader.
Okay.
And then you bring it back to see how it all wraps up in Jedi.
Okay.
That's how.
But shouldn't you watch Rogue One before New Hope?
Rogue One isn't necessary though.
Yeah.
I like Rogue One. I like Rogue One a lot, but it's not necessary. And depends on the kid. Like, for me, I felt like Rogue One might be a bit dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Adele's 8. So. Yeah. I liked Solo. Solo got a lot of hate. But
I haven't seen it.
And then we got around to watching it.
I liked it too. But
I want to see it. I just haven't.
But still, I don't know why I got the hate.
Because it's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, no one hates a Star Wars movie like a Star Wars fan. Well, and apparently Lucasfilm said they're putting all the spinoffs on hold.
Yeah.
Doesn't gross $1 billion, or just like, nope, we're not doing it.
Well, they put a whole bunch of so much money in that movie, too. Like, they shot, like, two different versions of...
They reshot the movie, yeah. I mean, there was no way that movie was going to make money, no matter what you did. And then, you know, you waited till a month before it came out to have a trailer.
Like, I heard I can't remember who said, but I heard somebody say, like, what they need to do is, like how Marvel, like, they put out, like, an Ant-Man movie, and it doesn't cost, like, $1 billion to make that movie. So the trying to make up that money on that isn't as difficult and easier to, you know, make a profit on it or whatever, like... And you not spend so much money on these, like, Star Wars movies, or understand, like, you know, like, the trilogies, that's where you kind of go big on, and these other side ones, you know, you do a little bit smaller of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rogue One was a fluke.
Yeah.
I find it, like, I know some people say, you know, start from episode one and go on. But I can't imagine a young kid giving a shit about trade tariffs and...
I think people focus too much on that. Like, yeah, that's what the core movie is about, but I think a kid
would watch it...
But I think a kid would watch it and not focus on those things. I think they would focos on, you know, Princess Amidala and the story... Like, if they know who Vader is, that point on the evolution of that Vader character and...
Right, if they already know who it is. But, I mean, if you're just starting somebody out, they don't know anything about Star Wars, here, watch this.
Starting episode one is not the way to go.
No.
Because the prequels work if you know who those characters are and you feel invested in the backstory of those characters, if those are standalone movies mm-hmm. without the history of the original films, then I just don't see
what the about the like. Because, like, one of the things I always say about people not liking the prequels is because they basically know what all these characters are going to happen to for the most part. If you started at the prequels, you wouldn't know that.
But you well, also but wouldn't
do
care.
The prequels, mm-hmm. Yeah, do the prequels hook you enough to make you stick around?
Not probably not.
To movie four?
Probably not.
Like, unless you feel invested with Anakin. Like, do you care that he becomes
the coolest
Darth Vader?
Guy in the prequels? Gets off in the first movie.
Yeah.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Qui-Gon. He has a particular set
Qui-Gon.
Of skills.
Qui-Gon's pretty cool too. First movie. People say skip the first movie altogether. I don't hate the first movie, and I don't hate the kid. Like the kid's annoying, but he's a little kid. Like little kids get annoying sometimes.
Right, and if you're an adult, you might see it that way. See, and I think that's to say, if you're a little kid, okay, well, I can relate to him, and it might not be.
But me as an adult,
bad.
I don't mind the little kid. Like, he, I don't know.
I just, and you know, because of the age I am, I grew up watching the original films, and I'm like,
Luke was a whiny little.
He was, but I'm like, no, this kid doesn't become Darth Vader. Like, no, that doesn't happen.
See, I don't have problems with that. I have problems with things like. Oh, really? You're going to tell me that Darth Vader created C-3PO?
Right,
like,
yeah.
That sort of stuff's what bothers me.
Yeah, just cramming in, you know, oh, we got to have him in there. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's problematic. And it doesn't... I like the story of the second one. I just don't like Hayden Christensen.
His acting's not great.
And then the problem I had with the third one was the ending made no sense.
The third one, it felt like they got to the third one, because people say the third one's the best of the prequels, and I actually think it's the worst, for me. Because I feel like they got to the third one, and they realized, crap, we really have to, like, bridge a lot of territory to get him to the point where he turns into Vader. So I feel like he went super violent and super evil very, very quickly.
How do we do this? Have them wipe out a bunch of kids.
Yeah, it was not. It was not a slow progression at all.
No.
Yeah, I don't care for that third movie.
No. Well, and the whole she dies of a broken.
Oh
heart.
My god!
Yeah, like,
the worst part. She lost the will to live because that's a thing.
Well, not only that. You have nothing to live for? You mean except your two children that were born, like,
to?
10 seconds ago?
They're going to be okay. They can fend for themselves.
Yeah. It's, you know, and Obi-Wan had to go back to pick up his lightsaber, because you know, to give it to his kid later.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, that just didn't make sense.
All right, well, there's the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we answered very well, but that's okay.
I think
we didn't have a definitive answer.
I don't
so.
Think there is
I don't
a good
no, I don't think so.
Either. Because there's not a single through line through all those movies. It's
no,
it's
I mean, they're made by
web.
Multiple companies,
yeah.
And...
Yeah. They're meant to stand on... They're meant to stand on their own, but they can connect.
But definitely save 7, 8, 9 for last, right?
No, Josh said 1, yeah. 2, or 4, 5,
1,
1
4,
2, 3,
5,
6.
1, 2, 3, 6.
6.
Okay.
7, but, no, yeah, 7, 8, 9 for the
7, 8, 9.
Oh, gotcha.
9.
Yes, sorry, you're right. I don't think of those yet. They're not included yet. They haven't been assimilated.
Yeah.
Are you a hater on
maybe
me?
No,
I didn't
done.
Like
but
I,
yes,
I wasn't a
if
great
if we were
going to
add those on, I would say the current movies would go at the very end. I don't think there's any reason to like mix those
you don't
ones.
Want to start
no.
With those.
Well, it would not make any sense if you started with those.
No.
Yeah. If you want to put like Solo in there, you put Solo maybe between 7 and 8. So after Han dies, then see his origins.
Spoilers.
Whatever.
Spoiler for a 6-year-old movie.
It's been 6 years already?
I think so.
Wow.
No, you know what? Because they're coming out every other year now. They used to come out every 3 years. So
it's been like two or three years.
Yeah, it's been like four.
Last Jedi just came out
last year, so 2 years prior to that.
2015 was Force Awakens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you read, Dave?
What did I read?
Books.
Stuff and things.
I read some books.
Good for you.
Tech manuals.
That's our Dave.
You want to be more specific, Dave? Or?
The Magic Order.
I read that.
Number one.
Is that how you watch the movies? The Magic Order?
We didn't come up with the Magic Order.
Mark Miller, Olivier Coipel.
I didn't know he was still writing.
Miller?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be one that wasn't going to be a TV
Hit Girl
show.
And Kick Ass
Netflix
right now.
Yeah, this is his first
series was doing
under the Netflix deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I thought he was kind of taking a back seat to develop those properties.
He's got to get the properties, too.
What imprint is it under?
Image.
Image.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a story of magicians who are protecting...
Reality.
Reality and the Earth.
It's mostly a story of one family.
One
I didn't
family,
really it was going to be that.
The Moonstone family, and they all have... jobs that are connected to magic. The one guy's like a magical performer, and the daughter is a birthday party magician. And it starts off with these shadowy figures. They take over the consciousness of this kid and kills this other magician, and they have a funeral for him and break his wand.
And then this other one, who they all thought did it, shows up.
Yeah.
But the person that... It wasn't the person that did it. You don't know who did it. They were like a shadowy person, but it's definitely male.
But I really liked the book.
I don't think it was Spencer.
Why am I a shadowy figure?
Hoodie.
You didn't wear his top hat, though. You all wear, like, top hats and stuff, it seems.
I could see him in a top hat.
Monocle.
Yeah.
No, Dave, do I ever wear a top hat? Do we ever wear a top hat?
No, we don't.
But it was good. There was just enough there to really keep you interested without giving... You know, there wasn't a ton of story to it, but it was a lot of setup.
Yeah, and the one brother...
Yeah, is out.
Is out of the family, and it looks like his daughter was killed somehow.
Yeah. But you know he's going to get pulled back in.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get him back in because this crisis is happening. These magicians are being killed. In the Magic Order. So, in the arts, I thought the art was beautiful, too.
Yeah.
Really good. Another new number one, The Weatherman.
Read that.
Series from writer of Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Yes, we had a conference call with him, and I yelled at him about killing the dog. I said, and basically, he was like, any questions or anything? I just went, you killed the dog, man.
No.
And he's like, well, I know I had to. I said, you killed the dog.
Rawr, 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 rawr.
Yeah. Rawr, 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 rawr. The bears.
The bears.
That was really rough. They really built up that dog.
Yes, they did. That's what made it hurt even more, which I guess, is certainly a story point, but that sucked. Basically, story of the weatherman. And he had done something in the past that basically ended up destroying Earth, and they're all living now on Mars, I believe.
It's Mars.
Like a terraformed Mars.
In the year 2770.
Yeah. And
he's the most popular
weatherman
on Earth because he's making people forget about this horrible event on Earth.
But it turns out that he had something to do with it, but he doesn't remember it. And it turns out, like, his new girlfriend isn't actually a girlfriend. She's, like, a special forces to keep an eye on him. And all of a sudden they get attacked by these people who shot the dog.
Yeah.
And she kind of swoops in to save him. So stuff's going on.
It was good.
It was really good.
Starting to sound a lot like Total Recall.
Hmm. Were there three breasts?
You didn't see them.
Not yet.
Or at least I don't remember if I saw them. This was before FOC, so I read it a month ago, so I don't remember. I just remember the dog, which I did not care for. Killing dogs. Bad. Bad. Yeah. But no, it was good. It was good.
It was really good. Yeah. Third issue of RoboCop.
Okay, cool.
Citizen's Arrest.
Dead I don't want to leave on a book of red.
I'd buy that for a dollar, but... The citizens of the ruins are rebelling against OCP, and they threw all their phones away, so they can't be tracked, and they're not reporting crimes anymore with that RoboCop app. Meanwhile, RoboCop has his retirement code deactivated, and there's some action scenes finally in this issue. He's taking on the robot police force that's burning down the ruins where the people all live. And these robots have no prime directive, but RoboCop mentions that he has inserted a fifth directive into his programming, but we don't know what it is yet.
He has to be polite. Oh wait, no, he did that one already.
But I think Bob Brown would real good social satire. I've read some reviews. People don't think it feels like RoboCop to them, but I think it's a pretty good issue. And Scooby Apocalypse number 26. This series is still going on.
Is that ending soon, or is
I haven't heard anything about it ending, so I don't know. This is like almost like a new starting point. This picks up 6 months after the death of Fred from the last issue. And everyone's trying to deal with the death of Fred in their own ways. They're still living in this shopping mall, which they've called Jonestown after Fred.
Are they the only ones that are alive, or is there like other group of survivors too? Or are they the only ones?
They brought in more survivors now to live with them, and Shaggy doesn't like it being called Jonestown. He doesn't like that name. Daphne is kind of withdrawn as her way, withdrawn from the group, and she's going out by herself, kind of as a death wish, it seems, after the death of Fred. And Velma and Shaggy are dating now. To deal with all this. And there's new characters introduced. In this issue, Shaggy investigates possible infiltration of the creatures into the shopping mall. And Scrappy Doo has tracked all of them to the mall, as he's tracking Scooby Doo. So I thought it was a good issue. It's interesting how they didn't just sweep this Fred thing underneath the rug. They're all dealing with this in different ways, and that continues to reverberate. And last thing I'll mention, I read the second issue of that Walk Through Hell.
Okay. Getting less confusing?
It's more confusing.
Is it? Okay, because I only made it like 4 pages in.
It's more confusing.
And I love Ennis, so...
Yeah, it's kind of like a dual... There's dual stories being told, because they're inside this warehouse where the two cops disappeared.
Okay.
And they wake up. They're unconscious, and they both wake up. And then they find out they don't have any pulses, and their heart's not beating.
That's not good.
And then they see, but they're alive. And then they see one of the guys, he's sitting with a gun to his head, and he keeps shooting himself into the head. And the other story being told is like a flashback, and it's very political. They're talking about the new president and how and his supporters, but they don't mention our current president by name or anything. So they still don't know what's going on in the series, but it's really creepy, but it's good, but don't know what the heck's going on. That's it for me. Who wants to go next, left or right?
Josh? I can go. Detective Comics.
Yeah. I did not love that.
I liked it a lot, actually.
A lot of people dropped it because Tinian was off.
Really?
So I'm not thrilled about Brian Hill coming on to it, just because I was reading Michael Cray, which last week's Michael Cray is my last Michael Cray.
Okay.
And I have not liked that book really at all. So we'll see what he does. But I forget who the writer was on Detective last week, but I don't
Michael,
know.
Michael Morrissey.
Okay. But I liked it. It was a... what's the guy's name?
Deacon Blackfire?
Yeah. Blackfire story. And he's back from the dead, supposedly, because the Spectre thought that he had eradicated him. And I remember that storyline. I think, was that part of Gotham by Midnight?
I think so. Because that kind of spun out of the Atonal, yeah. One of the Atonal series.
But honestly, I like the art a lot in this.
I thought the art worked really well for the story. I just didn't care for the story.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as seeing things with the team that we've gotten used to. Like,
yeah.
You know, I would have liked to have seen some more stuff with like Spoiler and what's going on with her and Tim and, you know, Cassandra and whatnot. But I thought this was a good
just like one-off
shot. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Prelude to the Wedding, Batgirl versus the Riddler.
I didn't get to that.
This was probably my least favorite of the preludes so far.
Okay.
This is essentially just, you know, her and the Riddler going, you know, toe-to-toe. The Riddler comes to Burnside and captures these three hostages and sets these clues for her to go out and find.
Is it more of like a strategic, like, mind kind of? Because they're both, like, very smart
characters.
Yeah,
that's why he went after her. And it looks almost like he had, like, a crush on her or something and was thinking that maybe, you know, she could be the one for him, but then it's not, it could never be, and it was okay. At the end, it left things off with her, you know, trying to call Nightwing because he is her, you know, soulmate, I guess, or whatever.
Is he still walking around with his shirt open?
He did have his shirt open at one point in this, like, because at one point you saw, like, this bunch of these panels showing different stages of the Riddler throughout, like him being this software engineer and all the way, and you saw like the panel of him getting the question mark carved in his chest, and then at the end he's standing with his shirt, you know, unbuttoned down to his navel almost, and very weird. It was all right. It wasn't bad. It just, you know, I enjoyed the other two more than this one. Hawkman number one, I thought was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I said it felt like a almost like an Indiana Jones kind of adventure, him playing up his whole, you know, archaeologist persona. He's trying to figure out more about his history, and he knows he has been reincarnated, you know, several times throughout history, but he feels like there are some big gaps there, things he's not aware of, so he's trying to find this relic that'll help him delve more into his past, get a better understanding of things. But it was fun. It was a good issue. The art was good. Another number one from last week was Plastic Man number one, which I also thought was a pretty good debut issue. This is Plastic Man's
new series. Yeah, I had a weird problem with this, and it's more a problem with Plastic Man himself, but his last name was O'Brien.
The spelling.
With an A, where I just, E is normal, and it just, every time I saw it, it jumped out at me is that it was wrong. And it wasn't. I looked it up, but it was just it was one of those pulls you out every time.
But that aside, I felt the art was really good. It almost had like this pulpy feel to it in certain parts. And the story was really good. Gail Simone was writing it in a way that was almost like a bit more mature in some parts.
As mature as you can be for Plastic Man.
Yeah, like he makes a joke about, you know, leaving a bunch of condoms at some dude's mom's house, like some mobster's mom's house one point in time. Like, it was, everything felt, you know.
Is it more like an origin story?
No, it's not an origin story. He was.
I just wasn't sure with, like, him being in, you know, the Terrifics and stuff now, like, word.
No, he, I don't know where it fits in, like, continuity-wise, but he had been, it does give the origin. It does show, like, he was part of this, you know, gang, and they were on a heist, and he got these chemicals all spilled on. Like, it shows as a flashback because he's now up against these same guys that were his best friends. But yeah, the book, aside from that quick, you know, flashback, isn't really focusing on origin. It just feels like him trying to, you know, go up against these guys that used to be his friends, but then someone starts killing them, and it looks like he may be framed for it, so. But I enjoyed it. Wonder Woman 48 really dropped the ball after coming off the annual, which was really good. Wonder Woman's barely in this issue. It was focusing mostly on her brother, which this series is getting a lot of flack for since Robinson came on to the book. We'll see. There's been rumors that G. Willow Wilson might be coming on to Wonder Woman, so I think that would be an interesting change.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's been a lot of rumors of that flying around.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, it's been on Bleeding Cool a lot recently. Mr. Miracle number 9.
That was
I forgot to take it home.
It was fantastic.
Was it? Okay. I totally forgot to take it home. And then I forgot to take it home again. It was like...
So, not a lot happens. It's a lot of nine-panel pages, yeah, but it's just the subtle conversations and, like, the way they use the nine panels just show, like, these subtle variations in characters' demeanor, especially with Kalibak.
Yeah, so the premise is it's...
They're negotiating.
Peace negotiations.
Yeah, peace treaty.
And, like, they hand Kalibak the treaty, and he takes out glasses out of a little case.
But, like, just the way it's, like... Because the page starts with these panels, and he looks so pissed off.
Right, yeah.
And you're expecting him to do something crazy, and he just, like, grabs something. You're not sure, like, what he's grabbing. And I thought it was, like, a weapon at first he's grabbing out of his, you know, like, armor. And then he pulls out these tiny little spectacles and puts them on to, like, read and then just asks a question about the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great, like, page or two where Mr. Miracle has to use the bathroom. So someone takes him to show him where it's at. And they're standing there, you know, taking a piss side by side. And the guy's, like, telling about, you know, this anecdote from whenever he, you know, knew Da Vinci, because he said he spent some time in Renaissance Italy. And I really like that little, like, anecdote about the master and the apprentice. And I was like, I don't know, everything just worked. Everything was firing on all cylinders in this book. It's great.
Yeah.
It's just a great book. The art's fantastic.
It won't spoil the ending, because you need to read it.
Okay.
But
yeah.
It's really, really good. It kind of gives you the direction where they were headed. And we now know that the end of Darkseid should be a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was probably my favorite book last week.
Have they done a trade yet of, like, the first?
I think so.
I couldn't even, because...
Not
like,
yet. No, they're going to do it all as one. They decided just to do it all as one.
Oh, okay.
Which I think makes a lot more sense. I think Vision probably would have been better just all as one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Maybe Comixology will have it for 99 cents when it's all collected. Oh, your face is itchy.
It is.
If you're that itchy, you should use more than one finger to scratch it.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay, here.
Is there anything else I want to mention? Bloodshot Salvation. You still reading that, Pat?
I'm reading it. I didn't get to it.
Okay.
I read that one.
You did?
Yeah,
I
did.
It was good. We have Bloodshot in 4002 AD. Yeah. He has to take down some sort of target for Baron Samedi. Bloodhound talks, because Bloodhound has been possessed by some sort of demon that is there almost kind of, you know, overseeing things on behalf of Baron Samedi, make sure everything's on the up and up.
Okay.
Jesse aged drastically, and they were trying to figure out how Jesse suddenly goes from being an infant to, you know, talking and knowing, you know, how to read, write, math, and we found out she's linked in the internet, and she's just been, like, absorbing information like crazy, and because of that, then Omen hit on some nanites that they saw connected online, so it gave them the location of some unknown being with nanites. So they decided to go after that, and since Omen is a government-sanctioned organization, they're coming to Gate to take possession of Jesse, because technically the nanites belong to Project Rising Spirit, which now all their property belongs to Omen.
Stuff was great, trying to get them out of out of the compound and stuff. That was really exciting.
It was good. I like this a lot. This series has to be wrapping up soon.
Were they going to have that new creative team?
A whole new book.
Yeah.
That Bloodshot Rising Spirit, which, man, I hate the look of that cover. Big time. If that's an indication of what the art's going to be like on the inside of that
book. Too bulky, or...?
He looks ridiculously bulky, and his face looks like a baby.
Okay, it's been a while since I've seen it.
I'll bring it up whenever someone else is talking, but it just, I don't know, it looks weird. I don't like it.
I know the new titles that they announced, like, none of them really seem too, other than maybe, like, the Live Wire.
So, actually, I'm excited for the Faith.
I see, I haven't read any of the Faith solo stuff.
What really excites me is because it has, it's Faith, it's Dr. Mirage, it looks like it's Axe also. No, not Axe, Animalia. So, I don't know, that seems neat. The Live Wire book, I think, was a long time coming. She's been such a big character.
Yeah, had a metal roof.
I have no idea what that, Incursion, that was called.
I think so. Yeah.
Book is about. Random, I don't know. The only one I'm really excited about is the Bloodshot book, because one, I don't know if I care that much about Bloodshot in the early days of Project Rising Spirit, and two, I've been so spoiled with Jeff Johns on, or not Jeff Johns, Jeff Lemire on Bloodshot, that I don't want to. I don't want to go away from that, and I wasn't reading Bloodshot before he came on because I tried out the first issue and just I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I think his first series wasn't that well.
Yeah, so it was Dwayne
Zawinski? I think so, yeah.
I like the extra material in this book, too.
I read it in this one. I've been falling off of not, like, I haven't been reading it lately because I hit that part in the middle of the book, and sometimes it references things that haven't happened yet in the story, and it really aggravates me, and I actually spoil something for myself.
Yeah. It's just so. But it feels like you're getting something extra. For your $4. So.
Yeah, it does.
Is that only in the pre-order edition, or is that in all?
Pre-order bundles.
Okay.
Just in those. That's the bonus.
Well, I'm getting it. The bonus is it gets spoiled?
Well, I mean, once you know that happens, then you just skip over that stuff and go back to it. And I get why they put it in the middle, because it's easier to add pages to a book in the center.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it does, I agree.
And that is all I will be talking about, unless someone else mentions something.
Come on, talk about something good, Spencer.
The third issue of The Dead Hand, where we get to see...
I talked about good things.
Well, we get to see a little bit more of this small American town that is hidden in the hills of Russia, and how, just how, like, the inner workings of how they smuggle things in and out of this city, and, they show you how they disposed of a body from a character that got killed off last issue, I do believe it was. And how they're teaching in school, like, this kind of weird, like, reverse history. They're acting as if Russia won the Cold War and is kind of, like, starting to take over more and more of like, the European, like, land over there and stuff like that.
His face
is kind of a weird face.
No, I just don't like it.
In the previous issues, we see the main character, the sheriff, who was American, like, assassin, super soldier kind of guy, has been talking to this little kid who has turned out to be this, like, artificial intelligence for this computer, and you finally kind of find out the reason why they're trying, because, like, it seems like this whole town's purpose is to keep this kid happy. And it's because this computer has all the access codes to launch all the nukes. So that's kind of, at least it seems like at this point, is the purpose of this town is to keep this kid happy so he doesn't get upset, so he doesn't launch the nukes and kill everybody. But, like I said, this is, like, three issues into this series written by Kyle Higgins, and I've been really enjoying it so far. The Marvel 2-in-1 Annual.
I read that, too, yeah.
This is a big, basically just a Doom story.
Yeah, this is, like, pretty much what happened during the Secret War.
Yeah, it kind of actually answered some questions from there, and it shows a little bit of past of Doom, growing up being trained from his father and just kind of the stuff that they had to deal with growing up. I really liked it. I thought it was really good of an issue. They show that they... what's the name of all the groups of the Reeds from the different universes?
Oh, was it the Council of Reeds?
Something like that, yeah. But they kind of reformed together to try to help each other more with, like, their families and kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, they have, like, a new mission for them.
Yeah.
Now.
But
who's the artist on that? Do you remember, Spencer? Because Chip Zdarsky, a regular writer. Right?
Yeah, and they had a different artist on it. I'm not sure who it was.
I can't remember.
I mean, the art was all right. It got a little, like, rough in some spots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could just been because the guy did the whole annual, so maybe he was just running low on time on some of it.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about the Thing always calling him Doomsy, though. It's just like, I mean, it makes sense because that's something that the Thing would do, but just Doomsy all the time. Like, hey, Doomsy, you going to get me out of here? Just kind of would throw me every once in a while.
He's just doing it to make him mad.
Yeah.
He's not too thrilled with him all the time.
But I'm definitely interested to see where this series goes once the Fantastic Four comes back. I think it's just going to be more of just a still of like a Thing in Human Torch, like, team up book, like, because, you know, they don't do much when it comes to the science stuff, so this could just be the mischief that they get into by themselves. But I'm kind of happy to see that it's still going along, because now it's still...
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's doing a great job on that book, Zdarsky. It's really good.
They needed to be doing a team-up, like, crossover with him in his Spectacular Spider-Man book. I think that could be a cool little story. Because it's not like Spider-Man doesn't have history with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, they're best friends. And
yeah, right? The Flash?
Yeah, I read that.
The next part. You're just new onto The Flash, haven't you? You have
dropped off it, but I came on back for Flash War.
Like, those first couple pages of showing Wally with the kids again. Then, like, with the racing, and then just him standing next to the case with the empty suits and stuff was just like, oh.
Brutal.
Just rough. But I've been really liking this story arc so far. And, it's been a very good, focus changed onto Wally.
I thought it was gonna be like cheesy whenever they talked about this whole Flash Wars thing and Barry versus Wally, and I was like, this is gonna be dumb. I feel like they've been setting up Wally to have all this like teen angst for some reason when he's not, you know, even he's not some teen anymore. Like he's you know, an adult and he has some issues there with what happened to him, but still, like, I didn't see why he would have issues with Barry, but this. They've set up well to where you kind of get it. Like, you feel for both sides.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you can see both sides of their, like, Barry, like, hey, no, I did this. It screwed everything up. And Wally be like, screw you. It's my kids. Yeah. Like.
But see, I kind of have a problem with that piece of it because he knows Barry's going to help him to do whatever he can to get the kids back. So, to just be like, nope, screw it, I'm going to do this anyway, like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but, like, they did set up some friction there with that whole Gorilla Grodd thing between him and Barry.
I get that.
So, I don't know. I feel like he's acting very irrationally right now because it's his kids.
Yeah.
I think it helps, too, because out of, like, all the superheroes that kind of had multiple people take the mantle of a character, Wally and Barry are like, you can make strong arguments for both of them as who is the better Flash. Because both of them had almost just as amount of time previously as the character. And, you know, has done just as good a job. Because, like, most of the stuff from the Flash TV show is taken from Wally's run of the series other than actually Barry. I think that's why kind of in the show Wally doesn't do as good because you took all the good Wally bits and gave them to Barry. But, so, what actually happened story-wise? So, it's a, the first chunk of it is Wally and...
Wally's the hunter. Hunter's trying to convince Wally to, you know, listen to him and sever his connection to the Speed Force and get rid of the Speed Force altogether. Wally's, you know, hesitant at first, but starts to really, like, buy into it as his memories are coming back. At the same time, like, Barry and Iris are with the Renegades, who there's a little, like, tease to them, you know, becoming the Rogues.
Yeah.
Like, just a name, at least. As they realize there is
something going on. They'd be rogue cops.
Yeah, like, they realize there is something going on there. They find out that Iris was telling the truth. She did, you know, kill Reverse Flash in self-defense. And then, you know, decide to all go and try and track down Wally and...
Too bad.
Shenanigans in the zoo.
Disappear.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been really interested.
See, I remember books this week.
That's why, like, I've just been really, like, whenever you said that, what's his name might be taking over for the Flash, I haven't read too much of his stuff. But just, like, I've been thinking that Joshua Williams...
Just what I have read, I didn't care for, but maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be good.
I just think that Joshua Williams has been doing just such a good job with this character since
Rebirth. 50 issues, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And that's it.
Me?
You.
Okay. Eternity Girl number 4. I'm really enjoying this.
I didn't read it yet.
Don't know what all's going on. It just kind of keeps chugging along with her just trying to find herself and figure out what's going on. Yeah, there's really no way to explain what's going on. It's just I found it very, like, in a Mr. Miracle kind of way. You don't know what's going on, but I'm enjoying it a lot. The Sonny Liu art is fantastic, and I'm really enjoying the writing. Like I said, I don't know what's going on, but it's very enjoyable. This goes at, yeah, I don't know. Milk Wars came out last week, and I know that they included, like, her stories were in the back of each issue.
Yeah.
And I really want to go back and read that, because I missed that, and I definitely hope they include that in the trade, because I do feel like I'm missing something.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if they're in the Milk Wars trade. Something I meant to look at, I forgot to. But, so I've enjoyed that one. Man of Steel, did we talk about Man of Steel?
No.
Okay,
no.
Man of Steel number 3.
I don't feel like a lot happened in that book.
No, I don't remember what happened in 2. This was the one where he gets to the Fortress of Solitude and realizes Kandor's been either destroyed or taken. I wasn't sure. Yeah.
No, it looked like it was
destroyed. Okay.
You saw that point where he's standing there looking at what everything, like, the mess of what happened, and Supergirl's behind him, and you see, like, this broken glass and these, like, buildings just destroyed. So
I think it was destroyed.
So yeah, so we got that. It talked a little more about him. Is that the one that started off with Ganthet and him basically just, or no, Ganthet went to, oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's all, weeklies are blurring. So, but not bad. I think it's definitely moving the story along. Yeah, I don't remember. My specifics are failing me.
I like the whole, like, him and Supergirl kind of teaming up. I always get annoyed, like, whenever one is being shown as, you know, more powerful or more important than the other one, because they're essentially equal, really.
What about the fact that he, like, he was really trying to protect her from seeing what was going on? Like, he wasn't filling her in.
I didn't get that.
See, I felt like he was.
No, I felt like he wanted her to get her affairs in order because of some, you know, he had some fear there that somebody coming after whoever's in her life, but I didn't get the feeling he's trying to, like, hide anything from her.
And now, I'm not reading Supergirl, so I don't know if...
Supergirl's on hiatus right now.
Okay.
I am kind of over this whole thing with Lois and John, like, mystery.
Okay.
Like, at this point, I just want them to, you know,
say what's going on.
It's just, I'm tired of the constant teasing. But yeah, when Supergirl comes back with issue 21, it's going to be tying in with what's happening post
Man of Steel. Okay.
I like the little bit of Batman we get.
Oh, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The very beginning, whenever
Yeah. When the nicest man on the planet leaves without saying goodbye.
There's a reason.
Yeah, that was
very cool. I have to say, this book so far, Bendis has shown he really gets to understand for the voice of these characters.
I was going to ask, has this series gave you more hope
absolutely.
For his?
I did not care for the little tidbits we saw prior to this from him.
Well, it looks like that bit in Action Comics 1000 is like the tail end of like this issue or next.
But yeah, I feel like this miniseries so far has been pretty solid, and his way of handling Superman has been interesting. I mean, he's focusing on what makes the character great. He's not just focusing on him being the super strong, can do anything character, but it focuses more like the personal interactions and the, you know, internal conflicts he has to go through. But even with Batman, I thought the way he handled Batman in this issue was, you could tell like he was having a bit of fun with the whole like I'm Batman and whatnot. But it all worked. I've been pleasantly surprised. My concerns so far are alleviated. I still don't like the idea of him being on both Superman books.
Yeah.
I think that's asking for a bit of trouble in case people aren't digging it. But
he can't write a series that doesn't have two tight like.
Yeah. But yeah, so far so good.
Okay, and then the last one I read was the Titans special, and I know Josh hasn't read it yet, so I don't want to...
You said it was good, though?
Yeah, I thought it was really good, and I haven't read a Titans book in a long time. I try and just doesn't hit the right notes. This one hit the right notes for me. Very enjoyable. Exploring a bit of what happened, the fallout from No Justice.
Excellent. They're in there, but it looks like they're in there in the same place they were during the...
That's okay. Run. I might take that home to read it. I have... Somebody sold me back a bunch of books, and in it was the full run of Doom Patrol, so I have that at home to read. So I might read that, then this. Because I remember you guys saying you were confused because this came out before.
Yeah.
So I'll read the Doom Patrol, and then I'll read this. So good. Good to know that they're in there, though.
I would read everything except for the very last issue of Doom Patrol, because I think that takes place after this.
Okay. So, yeah, Titan Special, I thought it was really, really good. I don't want to give anything away for you, Josh, but it's definitely setting up the future of the Titans, the more grown-up group, not the Teen Titans, but the Nightwing-led group.
I still find it's weird, like, a little bit of the roster, though. Like, have thrown, like, Raven and Beast Boy in
that
there.
That is kind of reforming the old New Teen Titans. Yeah. And that was one joke that one of them made. It's like, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And they said, well, you can always just add New in front, which I enjoyed. But
Starfire's not on either team moving.
No, Starfire's not in it, but it's...
I thought this would have been a good time to move Cyborg from
Justice
I
don't think
League
they're willing to do that. They don't want to, so what they did add a character, which I thought was Steel, which was a perfect replacement for Cyborg. I thought that worked very, very well. But yeah, it's essentially the original New Teen Titans team, because you have Raven, other than Starfire, because you have Raven, Beast Boy, Donna Troy, Nightwing, no Kid Flash, yet, or at least, but, you know, it was really good. Stuff happened in No Justice to Beast Boy.
Yeah, which I don't understand, because they never showed, like, I don't remember them showing anything happening to him to cause problems,
But I enjoyed it.
It seems interesting. I have zero interest in this new Teen Titans launch.
Okay.
The preview that's been in all the books.
Which that upsets me, because like I really like half the team, and then I really don't care for the other half of the team.
I'm not a huge Adam Glass fan, and that art I don't love.
Yeah,
they've shown, especially that cover.
It's weird that both books are dealing with brother blood. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
well, it makes sense more for Raven to be dealing with brother blood.
Now, granted, that in the Teen Titans preview, that could just be, like, a one-off thing that they do in, like, the first couple pages, and, you know, they deal with something else. But like, the whole brother, or the Lobo's daughter, and those two other characters, I could really care less about, but I would have liked to continue to see Damian, Kid Flash, and Red Arrow, but I had to drop it. I just, too many books, too expensive now. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Speaking of too many books, too expensive now, what's coming out next week?
Next week, only affordable books.
We talked about my books.
Oh. Yeah. Only the affordable books are coming out next week.
Oh, excellent.
We have
for us or for you?
The last of the Batman Prelude to the Wedding, Harley versus Joker, is next week. Bedtime Games. This is a new one from Dark Horse. I do not remember what this one is. I apologize.
Is it like 50 Shades of Grey?
I don't think so. Black Panther number 2, Blackwood 2. You read Blackwood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah,
so number 2 is that. An awesome one. I don't know who this is from, but it's Blastosaurus Zero. So why not? This one's got Spencer's name all over it. Mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels number 1. We're getting the preview, so now we have the DC is giving their own book, along with the Marvel book and the
Image
book. We have Detective Comics 983 that Josh, I know, is excited about, as well as Flash 49. I didn't read 48 yet. Harbinger Wars number 2. That's just for you, Josh.
Thanks.
Hunt for Wolverine Mystery and Madripoor number 2, Image Plus. Infinity Countdown Darkhawk. I have issues 2 and 3 coming because my damage replacements for 2 are finally coming in. Yay. Man of Steel number 5. Marvel Previews. Mike Hammer number 1. This is from Titan with their hard case crime. So they're doing a Mike Hammer book. Modern Fantasy. This one's from, who's this one from? Dark Horse. Basically, people who like are real life adventurers, you know, a wizard and a ranger and stuff, and then having to go back to their day jobs to pay the bills and then going back out. Multiple Man. This is the one from Matthew Rosenberg. We've been really hyping this one.
Is that a mini or an ongoing?
It's a mini. It's a 5-issue mini. I get the feeling that it's kind of their answer to Miracle Man. Just kind of taking that tone, the vision, kind of, here's a character nobody cares about. Go do something. So that's what I have a feeling that that's what this is going to be.
So when he does 4 kids walk into a bank, he can do it by himself.
Yes. Very good. Sentry number 1. I know you're excited about that,
oh,
Pat,
yeah,
because he's your favorite.
Especially when he rips people in half.
Yep, that's the best part. Shadow Rhodes. This is from, I believe it's Colin Bunn and the Brian Hurt. Who
what
did,
is it from Colin Bunn?
Who did Sixth Gun. They're doing this new one. It was a free comic book day book. It's like, there's like this portal where people can get from other dimensions, and these people are there to defend that, to keep bad people from getting through. I think that's what it's about. Free Comic Book Day was a while ago. Silencer number 6 from New Age of Heroes. Star Wars Lando number 2. The Teen Titans special that Josh is all excited about. Terrifics number 5. Thor number 2. Vampirella Roses for the Dead is by Linsner. And I'm assuming his wife is writing it. Because they said it's the first time husband and wife of, or no, they said first time woman has written Vampirella, but I don't think that's true. No, I don't remember. Sorry. But a new Vampirella book, a little 5-issue mini. Venom number 3, that's for Adam because he really liked number 2. And then for Dave, we have Wakanda Forever, Amazing Spider-Man number 1, a 3-issue miniseries. There you go. So, that's what's coming next week. As far as the store goes, by next Wednesday, we might have a lot of changes here for you, I'm hoping. The wall is done inside and almost outside, and then we just got to get stuff moved. Well, it's almost done on the inside. Hopefully they finish that up tomorrow. He bought the wrong baseboard, but so hopefully they'll get that done tomorrow, and I can start moving stuff around. So my goal is to get that done this weekend. So we'll see. Book club is coming up next Friday. It's We Can Never Go Home, Matthew Rosenberg. It's coming up on the 29th. We're still doing our Justice League month. Double points on all Justice League books. And I think that's about all we have going on in June. June's a little crazy for me, just with the construction, and then I'm going on vacation at the end of the month. So we do have, I just posted about our midnight release on July 3rd. Changing up a little bit, opening at 11:45 instead of 11. Probably will be opening by 11 anyway, but just the last two, it's been, I don't want to say a problem, but people have gotten here at 11 and grabbed the book and wanted to buy it, and I'm like, no, you have to wait till midnight, and they just basically stood at the counter for an hour, which was kind of uncomfortable for everyone involved. It just, you're kind of standing there, especially I remember Doomsday Clock, there was a line going to the back of the store, and I'm just kind of, we're all just kind of
sitting. Wait, are you referring to award-winning
Doomsday Clock? Yes, yes. thank you, Josh. So I decided to change it up and just make it 11:45, so come in, grab your book, and buy it. Just to get rid of that, because I thought it would be fun to mingle and all sorts of stuff, but then I didn't realize the anxiousness of being able to buy it. People coming early to make sure they didn't miss an issue, a copy, but then having to wait, and so, 11:45. So I will not be here. I will be, well, not at that time. I will probably be, well, at least not outside, but we're going to the beach, so I'll be at the beach that week, so you guys have to fend without me. I told Tim he has standards to live up to. They must remain award-winning. So hopefully...
Strippers.
I have confidence. I have confidence. That goes along with the Captain America midnight release. So,
well, but I was singing the bachelor party.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, the midnight release is sponsored by Batman 50, the wedding issue, and the release of Captain America number 1. And then most of the other publishers, I haven't checked, but have allowed us to sell their books. They've made it public. Or official, that we can sell the other books.
Knowing that you would do it anyway.
Mm-mm. I would never do that, Pat. That would be against the laws and the rules of selling comic books, so that would never happen. Hang on, sorry. I'm letting my daughter know she can come get me.
Once it's midnight, it's technically Wednesday. Anyway.
It is, but the official rule is it has to be at the prevailing opening time of stores in the area. It's to prevent... The idea behind it is for a more... In a more clustered market, one store couldn't be opening at 7 a.m. to sell their books to the people on their way to work and forcing other stores to open... like that. So yeah. They're probably, I think that's Columbia Gas is working on
it. It is. It's...
So.
That should be fun.
That's to protect that. Well, supposedly they should be able to do everything underground. So. That's the hope.
Actually, that's the company I used to work for.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they typically can.
Good. Because I've been talking to them, so. Is the one guy, he keeps coming. He's bought all the metal hardcovers, so I got to let him know the last ones here. But I'm like, you know, he's like, I'm trying to get him to, you know, they're debating. I'm like, please, I just don't want it all torn up. He's like, I understand. I said,
worst case, I'll have to do a bell hole.
They did one over here. There's a little hole. Yeah, I think that's what they've done, and there's one out there, which is fine. I just don't want a 10-foot trench dug.
They don't want to do that either.
Yeah, I bet. So, what's up? Another? Okay. So, I think that's everything that's going on. Other than
heavy equipment right in front of your store, so.
I don't like heavy equipment. That's bad. Bad.
Oh, right,
bad.
Right behind, no, my, right behind my car.
Oh, okay. So, that's our fun, and we have fun going on here. And that's all I got. So, I don't know who's up. Josh?
That's the podcast.
We will talk to you next week.
See ya.